PDF page 85, we start topic 4 of the class topics, introducing on-off processes, which are bases for recurrent events such as asthma, paying attention or not in class, time on task, being employed or unemployed, having angina events or not. Depression may last a while, may go away, herpes or malaria, onset, offset. So the two-state behavior stream has an on-time, on-state, and off-state, and waiting times, how long when you're on, you stay on, and how long when you're off, you stay off. That's sometimes collapsed into a point process of transitions, incidents. That is, you're going along, you're off, and then you go on, and then it's a while till you go on again, and that can have a simple waiting time, which is W. And those might be for short events, like a flood. But a two-state behavior stream or two-state on-off process give rise to a point process of off-to-on transitions, and those have waiting times. They're both the duration on and the duration off. So that's page 85, just showing you the basic picture, which corresponds to a lot of possible events evolving over time, and they're sometimes called recurrent events in the statistical literature. We'll look at a number of examples next week. So how do you observe these things? That's a second part of it. If you have an on-off process, you have a waiting time off and a waiting time on. A second event has a second cycle, has a waiting time off, waiting time on, which you could get from continuous observation. That's what the CONT is. You'd record all these waiting times, time on and time off. Instantaneous sampling just looks at pre-described, say every 30 minutes, you might get a beeper and whether you're on or off. There's a number of famous studies. That's good for getting at prevalence, not so good at getting at durations. So that's one sampling. And then interval sampling or Hansen sampling, sometimes called, you look for an interval, you look as much as you do for continuous, but you only record whether there was an event or not sometime during it. And that's an old-fashioned version that unfortunately was quite popular. That makes it difficult to estimate things. I wrote a lot about these a long time ago, how to do the statistical estimation. But basic ideas and how they relate to survival analysis are useful as background. So alternating renewal processes, and this is stat 217, 218, for those of you who haven't taken it, you have two random variables, waiting time off and waiting time on. Here they're D0 and D1. And you have an event transition probability matrix, so we can talk about Markov on-off, and we will with the ETM package. And so the waiting time distribution off may have a waiting time distribution, say it's exponential with a certain mean, and the on may be exponential with a certain mean. That gives an alternating Poisson process. Then you get some observables that are of interest for behavioral measures. The incidence, the rate of off-to-on transition, how many times something happens, like a discipline behavior in a class. Prevalence, proportion of time you're on task. And duration, when you go on, how long do you last? Stamina, think of it that way. Those are three observables that people want to get off of the on-off process. And an alternating Poisson process just has exponential waiting times. You may be predominantly off or predominantly on. That has an instantaneous transition matrix, but I won't get into that deeply because not everyone has had that kind of background. So waiting time distributions, PDF page 89. Poisson point processes is exponential distributions. A gamma point process has a gamma waiting time. An alternating Poisson process has on and off different exponential waiting times. And then the hazards for a Poisson, that is a pure exponential waiting time until an event, that's the flat hazard. It's just the incidence. And that's often referred to as the exponential distribution, is memoryless. That's fun to say, and that it has a flat hazard. That is, just because something hasn't happened doesn't mean it's more or less likely to happen 5 years from now. The alternating Poisson has a certain hazard function, and gamma has a certain hazard function. It can be monotone, decreasing or increasing. I have a plot that gives you an idea. Gamma with parameter 2 is increasing, exponential is flat, and alternating Poisson with prevalences around 0.5 and around the extremes waiting time. So hazards can be flat, they can be monotonically increasing or decreasing, probability of an event. And that comes from the waiting time distribution. Now, to think about survival analysis, one way of thinking about it, if you started out with this way of thinking, you have a collection of individuals. Each individual contributes a single waiting time, which may be censored, but it gives one waiting time, not recurrent events with a lot of waiting times. So you aggregate over individuals to estimate the aggregate hazard function. Treat those as a series of W's, and that may be a flat hazard if they're all exponential. Incidence is a property of the group. How often does it happen? When you have detailed behavioral observations, each individual behavior stream has multiple events, so you can estimate something for each individual and provides a set of waiting times for estimating the incidence. But survival analysis, basically we aggregate over individuals to get a real behavioral stream, a set of waiting times. So there are different ways of looking at on-off data or transition data, such as survival analysis data. ETM is empirical transition matrix. This is based on Markov models. Event history data in which individuals may experience more than one single event type. This is PDF page 93. I'm just taking one of their presentations. An illness death model produces a study of impact of an intermediate event on a terminal event, transition probabilities, which are just incidences. And so, leukemia, you'd like that to go away, is one of their examples, PDF page 94. Just giving you some of the references, you can try to estimate these transitions for a set of people. I just wanted to throw this in here. Our package ETM displays transition probabilities. We have an onset. What's the probability of having it on and off, having it go away or remission within 6 months and things like that? And so that's another version of these kinds of time to event data that we're not going to go into deeply, but one should at least know about it from the point of view of behavior stream and renewal processes. So PDF page 95 starts design section 5 of the lecture. I'm just giving you some assorted topics. That's what we're doing the second half of today. Things that are good to know about a little bit, maybe useful, but not our core competencies, which is what we did with Cox regression and the various data analysis methods. And so in the ServMiss package, there used to be a very nice function which has recently been deprecated, LRSS. I showed it to you for nostalgia purposes on page 95, which gave you the sample size required to show difference in survival by Kaplan-Meier estimate. And you have to know a bunch of things in order to be able to estimate these, as usual, with sample size or power calculations. But they're good. And so PDF page 96 and 97 don't do us that much good, but they're there for nostalgia purposes. So a useful package that's still functioning, PowerServEpi, does a variety of these things, and review question 6 does out the example. Most of the review questions here are extensions or fill-ins of the lecture, or I'm just showing you something, and then we do out the example in the review question. So review question 6 does LRSS, and then does PowerCT in PowerServEpi. Functions to calculate power and sample size, testing main effect in survival analysis of randomized clinical trials. And this is a good thing to do. So PDF page 99 says see review question 6 for the worked out example. This is PowerCT. This is your main function for this package. And that is something worth looking at for if you need to design your own study. This is the place to start. Final topic for today is class topic 6, parametric survival models. And that starts on PDF page 100. And we'll go through a few instances of this. There's also review question 5 works out some illustrations of this. And this should get us done a little bit early today, which is good because we've gone full or long a couple of times. So PDF page 100 from the Lausanne exposition. The baseline hazard. We have usually let the data just do a non-parametric estimation of the baseline hazard, plot it, because estimate of lambda of t or h of t, however we're doing the notation, is not crucial. It's part of, we're usually interested in the regression part of the proportional hazards model. But there are various applications, especially in engineering, where there may be some attention paid to the form of the baseline hazard and some reason to know what the form of it is. And a couple of examples are Weibull, which is a generalized exponential waiting time model. Exponential has a flat hazard time, and Weibull will have a straight line, not flat line hazard, as we'll see. So there's a couple of things. We do a Weibull example, and Lausanne does a Weibull example of the recidivism data. Instead of letting pure proportional hazards do it non-parametrically, we can fit, say, a Weibull, a waiting time model, to lambda 0 t. Okay, so PDF page 101 goes back to John Fox's introduction. Modeling of survival data usually employs a hazard function or log hazard, assuming a constant hazard is exponential, density function. Other common hazards are are the Gompertz or the Weibull. Weibull has a straight line, log time, and of course, if it's flat, it gets back to the exponential. Since the baseline hazard often works as an intercept, time-dependent intercept, in these models, we don't often care about the exact form, but we can fit it, and there are a number of packages that do that. And so ServReg is one of those. PDF page 102 is page 102 of the ServReg manual. I didn't notice that until now. So regression for a parametric survival model. That means we're actually going to try to model lambda 0 t, a hazard, either by an exponential, a Weibull, or something even more complicated. So distribution Weibull here will give us a hazard function that can have a slope. And flux ServReg works in the same way as Cox regression does. Distributions are Weibull, exponential, Gaussian, logistic. We don't have any reason here to distinguish among them, but we'll try one out. You can try out an exponential model on the ovarian data, which is the one they use. Scale parameters. If you have an application that requires it, it's good to know about it. So the distribution's available. PDF page 104, I just put in a few of these things. PDF page 105 has a better list. Distributions, extreme, logistic, Gaussian, Weibull, exponential, log normal, log logistic. We don't have any reason for, in our applications, for any statement of the model. We just leave it non-parametric, standard Cox regression. So review question 5, what they do for recidivism is do the basic Allison model, that is all the various predictors, using ServReg instead of Cox pH, and The default is Weibull, you get basically the same result as we did for our non-parametric analysis. Two fits, Weibull and Cox models, and they make a nice plot. I put in this slide just to show you if you wanted some code for making these plots. There are other, you don't see much difference. PDF page 108. There's a little bit displacement of the survival function, but the reds and the blues give you a little bit. So you can take a look at this. We don't have any primary use for this, but it's good to know about that. This is what parametric survival analysis is. It's just putting a distribution on the baseline hazard, which we haven't concentrated on anyways. There is another way of looking at time to event data, and that's accelerated failure time model, which does a different baseline survival curve and then regression function. And it's used in some engineering applications. Log of failure time, that's done it. And there are some examples. Just wanted you to know about that. ServReg will do it. Distribution Weibull. This may be relevant in some engineering applications where you have a very precise measurement and a reason for this. But that's another form of survival analysis that's not Cox regression. We're not going to focus on it, but it's good to know that it exists. And I just include a couple pages of that thing. FlexServe is another package that does the parametric survival analysis. It's good to know about it. And so that's why I'm just showing it to you at the end. And it has a very nice vignette. Fully parametric models have many advantages. Even the originator of the Cox model has expressed a preference for parametric modeling. Well, okay, David's allowed to have his opinion. Fully specialized models can be more convenient for representing complex data structures and processes. Hazards vary predictably. Interval sensitivity, frailties, multiple responses. So they are proponents for parametric survival modeling, and this is an alternative to just letting it be non-parametrically estimated. So FlexServe, let them make a pitch. And they have a whole bunch of parametric survival distributions. You can choose amongst them carry out the same sorts of things we did with Cox regression. As we saw for the recidivism data, we could do the same thing. So this brings us to an end of week 8, and we'll continue on with some advanced survival analysis topics, recurrent events, joint modeling, time-dependent covariates. So we will come back to the recidivism data and do the employment indicator, whether you're employed that week or will lag at one prior week, because that may influence whether or not you need to go out and do something illegal to obtain money. I needed money because I had none. So we'll continue on these topics. This was kind of an assorted list of peripheral topics that I wanted you to know about. The core of what we're doing is Cox regression and its various pieces, understanding it. So there's a little bit of enrichment on Cox regression here. And remember, I did do a partial posting of the course problem set, and probably next week I will post the last problems completed out. That'll be the survival analysis part of the problem set. So, and those are due November 20th. So those are good to remind you of. So let's call week 8 to a close at about an hour and 40 minutes. And that's a good thing to do. Thank you very much.